Close Shave by Michael Bailey. It should have been cut 3 weeks before. Since then it's grown like billio, so it's a big job now. The first day when I started, I managed an hour and went in for a drink of water, lay down and went straight to sleep on the sofa. I got up and did another hour and had a sandwich and another irresistible sleep. One more session and I slept again. Next day I was a bit better, working for longer than an hour and resting while I ate and drank before I started again, but no sleeping. I aimed at a minimum of 3 hours a day and built up my strength. Now I'm on the final stretch, out early in the morning to beat the flies and the mosquitoes. It is peaceful, just me and the meadow, clear blue morning sky, fresh green grass and bright flowers, tall daisies, dark powder blue chicory and purple ragged robins. I cut in broad sweeps, working from right to left as I clear a semicircle around me and build a pile of felled stalks on my left. The rain has flattened a lot of the tall grass, making the job much harder as I can't tell if the stalks laid sideways are cut or just folded over. Their weight on my blade catches me and I heft them with my shoulder, driving the blade harder. Suddenly it's free and they float over it like waterweed. It's exhausting work. Even now I'm feeling fitter and into my stride. I'm never going to be slick and graceful like the village men who've learnt the art well before they were 10 years old. You have to flex your knees as you swing the blade, keep it low and parallel to the ground, but with the tip arching upward even as the blade keeps sweeping flat. Keep your elbows tucked in as well, I've been told time and time again. I've developed my own clumsy rhythm based on brute strength and ignorance. I hack at the base of the stalks, dragging the blade across them, getting tangled as the rain-bent grass pulls the blade down. I'm sweating. My denim shirt and thin cotton trousers are drenched. I'm wearing rubber Wellingtons and they add wet feet as the sweat inside has nowhere to go. Every 5 minutes or so, I have to stop, lean on the handle, lift my hat and wipe the sweat from my forehead. My head is hot under the hat, even though it's light, made of paper twisted into spills like straw and woven into a rustic Panama. The hat keeps the flies away in the morning, but as the day wears on, the shadow under its wide brim attracts a host of small black insects that dance in front of my eyes. Then I lift the hat and wave it to flap them away and fan some breeze at my face at the same time. The relief is never more than momentary. Cutting grass like this, the old-fashioned way with a blade, is quiet. The sweeps make a swishing sound as the blade slices through the stalks of grass and wildflowers alike. Sometimes there's a harder chopping noise when we hack through the impudent woody sticks of plum tree runners shooting up from underground roots. When I stop to sharpen the blade, the noise seems deafening. Swift, rasping strokes of the whetstone, one side and then the other of the blade. I pull the stone down like a violin bow against the blade edge as it hangs towards the ground. I strop from the handle to the pointed tip in an ascending scale of steely notes, gritty from the stone and ringing as I clear the blade edge with each stroke. It's not as monotonous as a cicada or a cricket, more like a chorus of frogs. The plop as I drop this whetstone back into its tub of water sounds like one of the frogs jumping into a pond. I sigh and tell myself to get on with it. I've been going for almost an hour this morning and want to get finished with this and one final session. An hour and a half of hard effort twice over, the equivalent of playing 2 football matches back to back. With the end in sight, I feel light-hearted. I found a song from my childhood, a nursery rhyme. One man went to mow a meadow. One man and his dog went to mow a meadow. I haven't even thought of these words for decades, and now they carry me along as the blade sweetly sweeps the grass aside. Two men went to mow a meadow. Two men, one man and his dog, went to mow a meadow. The blade can be used to lift the pile of cut stalks and stems and fling them aside. I clear the semicircle where I've been working. Three men went to mow a meadow. Three men, two men, one man and his dog, went to mow a meadow. The song carries on until 12 men and the dog are reaping. Here, in my small meadow, there's just me, and I'm dog-tired all of a sudden. I stumble. My hands are slippery on the wooden handle. My blisters sting and make it hard to grip firmly, so the handle twists whenever we hit an obstruction. My breathing is heavy, and when I stop to lean on the handle, my heart pounds. Those black insects are swarming in my vision, or are they just black dots spinning in front of my eyes? I lean hard on the handle, my head bent down below the hunch of my shoulders. I'm done in. Another song takes over in my head. Ma, take this badge off of me. I can't use it anymore. It's getting dark, too dark to see, and I'm knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. It does seem to be getting darker for a long moment. I shake my head and look up. The grass is beautiful and the sky is a milky blue. Swallows are flying high up and a raven, crossing with careless flaps, makes busy, croaking calls. It really is peaceful. Would it be so bad to fall now onto my back and see this sky through the final darkening moments of my life? I'm almost willing to. I feel so tired. It would be a relief to let go and give in, to lie back in the cool, lush grass and say goodbye with a smile. How much better than those poor chaps who pop off shovelling snow, their hearts bursting from the sudden, intense effort. Foolish thoughts. I give myself another chorus of knocking on heaven's door. I straighten my shoulders and swing the scythe again. I smile and pause, and in the silence, I can hear a second blade, sharper and more professionally wielded than my own, slicing the air close behind me. Its dispassionate sweep seems very close, yet I can't look round. I can just stare at the shadow that moves alongside my own, a taller, darker shadow. And then no sooner have I registered it than it's gone, and the silence is mine again. Mine to break with a nervous laugh as I start in on another round of one man went to mow. Safer to stay away from tempting heaven's door to open for me. And I fancy I hear a voice somewhere inside my head and from far away at the same time, muttering that there's no fun in it if they just give in without a struggle. Ah, well, another day.